Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
What's good, Internet? It is Friday, September 22nd, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 98. Almost to 100. We're close. We had to wait. We had to push one back. We didn't actually push one back, but Danielle went on vacation. I want to make sure we got 100 when Danielle was back, and it turns out it's going to work out okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to have a good 100th episode. We're only a few weeks away. I'm not stressed about it. Nothing to stress over. It's 2017. There's nothing to stress over. That's the motto. Joining me, Patrick Klepek, who's definitely not stressed about it. What's one thing you're not stressed about?
Oh, I have a golf outing the rest of the weekend, so I'm not stressed about that. That's just drinking and cigars and being mediocre at golf.
Hell yeah. Rob Zachney, what's one thing you're not stressed about?
I'm not stressed about what this bourbon barrel-aged malt liquor is about to do to me.
Wow. We just... Last episode... Wait. Okay. Rob?
I mean, it might be your problem in a few minutes.
This time last week, this time this 4 days ago, mm-hmm. on Monday, mm-hmm. you were telling us a story in which you drank a beer that was too strong after on an empty stomach, and it fucked you all up. A malt liquor, apologies. A malt liquor, not a beer.
I don't really get the difference.
Okay.
But it does seem to have some sort of physiological effect that is different and unique.
But now you're just drinking on the cast. You're just good to go. You're just out here like it's one up yours, or like it's fucking...
Wow. Like, wow. Deep cut.
They all ended up okay, right? Everyone's.
Yeah, everyone's got. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's nothing awkward or untoward ever happened on a one up yours.
That's okay. We have light topics to talk about today, like copyright and racism. So it should be an easy one. No eggshells to walk on here.
No, yeah. So the past couple of weeks at Waypoint has just been like, let's just talk about how we love video games.
We love right? video. Okay, well, I do love video. So let me just very briefly, before we get into heavy stuff, I just want to shout out Heat Signature, which just came out in the new game from developer Tom Francis and the studio that he runs, which is called Suspicious Developments, which is a great name for a studio. That is a sort of top-down spaceship heist game. You are
they make Gunpoint one of the best games of the last 5
yes.
years.
Yeah, Gunpoint is legitimately just incredible. But Patrick, I really want you, I want both of you to play Heat Signature. If you like Gunpoint at all, you should play Heat Sig also. What were you gonna say?
You should go play Gunpoint. That game was fucking great.
It's phenomenal. Heat Sig is like a little less puzzly than Gunpoint. So in Gunpoint, it was kind of like a cyberpunk noir thing where you were breaking into corporate facilities and using, you know, hacking by like rewiring the buildings. So you would do stuff like you would turn a light switch so that instead of opening turning on the light, it would open a door or, mm-hmm. you know, zap somebody with a loose electrical wire or something. And then you'd use guard AI to do all that. This doesn't do that. Heat Signature doesn't do like that style of puzzle solving. Instead, it's a procedurally generated game with a lot of proc gen in it. Your characters are procedurally generated by name and what their equipment loads are. And then the spaceships are procedurally generated. And the goal is to break into spaceships, which one, the way you do that is by flinging yourself at them in a tiny pod from across the galaxy and then like matching speed and then just docking just right. It's like a vacuum seal. It's a very pleasing, very pleasurable sound to do that. And then it goes into almost like a Hotline Miami style looking kind of top down view of the ship that you can zoom in and out of. And like Gunpoint, there's lots of cool gadgets that you can use. So things like, there's like five different teleporters. So like one of them will swap you with somebody. Another one will take you really far, but only if there's a direct line with no doors in the way. It's called the Sidewinder. It can like go through hallways and take turns and stuff, but it can't go through doors. And my favorite one is the Visitor, where it's like, all right, you can teleport somewhere, but for 2 seconds. You have 2 seconds to get done whatever you need to get done when you get there.
That's really smart.
Patrick, you should at least watch some of the... Well, I should go back in. I streamed it with Jack DeKeet, who's a Waypoint freelancer friend of mine. We had a lot of these just incredible moments where, like, you just get this thing of, like, because of the way that the gadgets work, things like the teleporter or, like, shields, or there's a stealth device, but it doesn't make you invisible. It gives you, like, a little triangle in front of you, and that from that one angle, you're invisible. So you're just doing this, like... It's almost like it feels a lot like a Coen Brothers movie or like a British comedy of just like, I'm bungling my way through this and just like, okay, don't look in this corner. If you don't look in this one corner, I'm just going to like slide past this whole row of guards or like, all right, I have to get in that room. What do I do? I need someone to open the door so I can use the Sidewinder teleporter. So I'll throw a wrench at a wall so they hear it and come check it out, which will briefly open the door. So I'll pause the game and then teleport through the door before it closes. And like that sort of stuff is really fun and good. And then like Gunpoint, lots of throwing yourselves out of windows, except some or other people, except these windows go to space, and that's a whole fun thing. So check that out. We did the stream. You can find that we did an article that has an embed of the stream archive at waypoint.vice.com.
Just a quick question about this, because it sounds like there's a lot going on, and
there is.
It sounds really cool. But when you talk about this, it also reminds me a little bit of another stealth game called Monaco, which had an art style I really enjoyed, but was so busy and frenetic that I found it really hard to enjoy.
This is so much more like restful than that. There's a pause button. There's a slow motion button. This is way more, okay, how do I deal with the situation? Pause. Let me execute on it. And let me even execute in slow motion if I have to. It's way more like, I think Hotline Miami is a good comparison in the sense of like, okay, here is my solution is to jump into that room to use the subverter so that I knock out their shields and then, you know, take this shot, grab this guy's gun, throw it at this guy. Like that sort of stuff happens. It's not as rhythmic as Hotline Miami, which was like, the levels were designed to be like, I step into the room on beat and like I take out these two people and it goes like, ba, ba, ba. And then you grab the gun and you throw it. Like, it doesn't do that stuff as well, but it does do that in a way that Monaco didn't. Where Monaco, I felt like I was always just scratching at the strategic like layer of play or the tactical layer of play. And I was just kind of batting my head against it. It's like, I knew what I had to do.
I wanted to if you described Monaco to me, every time I go, that sounds awesome. And then every time I played Monaco, I just could not get into it at all. It just did not click with me.
I liked it more than most, but that was one of those games where the thing that I realized is I paid super close attention to it during its marketing blitz, which meant that I knew a lot of things about the game and the gameplay that the game didn't teach you. And so I was like... It was one of those moments where I realized, like, okay, if I want to write about this critically, and I don't think I ever did write about Monaco, but I need to stop being such a fan of the marketing of games that I like. I have to stop like letting the marketing teach me and instead say, okay, does this game successfully teach me? If I just downloaded this on Steam today, would it correctly show me how this ability worked or whatever?
In Heat Signature, is it a game where like you instance into the world and get as far as you can and then you die and then you start from scratch?
It has like a really cool meta structure. The game starts by you playing a character who like takes over a space station and makes it independent. The game takes place in this nebula that has some sort of like rare mineral or something in it, and there are four factions fighting over it. There's like an engineering faction, there's like a weird glitchy hacky faction, there's like a police faction that it has no lethal damage, all of their weapons are concussive knockout things, but there's a really great dialogue with someone from that faction who pushes the like, we don't kill people, to a very disturbing end that's like, oh, but you do everything up to killing people. You're fucked up.
Sounds pretty woke to me.
It's pretty woke. Yep, the woke gamer definitely belongs to the space cops. He definitely would join those fuckers. And then there's like an evil mega corporation, right? In which like it's not even a there's no it's a there's again a really great dialogue about that mega corporation that's like, this is just an animal. Like, this is just a machine. Like, there's no thought in it because profit motive is all there can be. Everyone just is obliged to make decisions that hurt people all the time, but not because they want to hurt people, because they have to because of what their legal obligations are. It's really interesting.
Learn more at centrism.biz.
Fuck. I would go to centrism.biz. It's extremely good. And so the way the meta structure works is you play an individual character. Your individual character has a goal, which is almost always like revenge or justice or greed. The three things: revenge, justice, greed. Where it could be like, okay, I want to go on the one last heist for this thing that's worth $1 billion so I can retire. But to do that, I need information from this information broker. So I have to do little missions, then get the information to go on that big heist. Or get the get the money to pay the information broker who will then tell me where my kid's been kidnapped. And then you go off and do that personal goal mission for that character. If your character dies, you then switch to a new character. If they're captured, you can switch to a new character and then go try to rescue them, which is really cool. Like the next character you play, their personal mission will be to go rescue your last character. And then on top of all of that, you're slowly liberating those stations. So for every mission you do, you're basically like increasing a bar that says liberation progress. And as you start taking over different space stations, you unlock new equipment that is like filtered into the rest of the game. Almost like, God, what did that recently? Spelunky didn't do that. Spelunky doesn't do like new stuff starts to appear in the world, right?
Mm-mm.
Something else does that. Another like roguelike style thing. Not Rogue Legacy either. Dead Cells. Like Dead Cells. You know, in Dead Cells, you do the thing, Patrick, where it's like, oh, I put the points into this thing, and so now this, or I found this thing once, and now it'll start showing up in the game. Like, I found the blood dagger. That's how this works, where it's like, oh, the armor-piercing guns will start showing up because I took over this space station. And gotcha. So if you lose a character, you just change characters, but the galaxy map stays where it was, which is cool. It's I think there could be more to that meta structure, but I'm really enjoying it, and I'm excited to just keep putting more time into it, because it's a fun sandbox, like by itself, in the same way that Gunpoint could be, where it's just like, what other bullshit can I get into here? So that's the one thing I'm not stressed about today. What do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about PUBG and Fortnite? Or do we want to talk about South Park?
Let's talk about South Park. Come on.
All right. Let's talk about fucking. So
I don't want to lose it the way we lost it last time.
So we lost it. Okay. So the last time that we were supposed to talk about South Park, what's the fucking subtitle?
The Fractured Butthole.
Right, The Fractured Butthole. Got you. The Fractured Butthole.
Hole, yeah, please. Please. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I had to pause. Yeah, very funny. We were going to talk about the fact that at the beginning of the game, when you're making your character, there is a slider for race and difficulty. It's one slider. It's if your skin color is darker, the game is more difficult. And they don't mean that in terms of enemy HP or something. What Cartman, who is talking to you as you're designing your character, tells you is that it's just going to be that you get different dialogue and less money, basically. And then Ubisoft has told different outlets different things about this, so I don't even want to like say what Ubisoft's official position is, because if you check different stories, you'll see in some where they say like, oh, no, that's actually just a one-off throwaway gag, and in other stories, that doesn't seem to be the case. So who knows on that thing? I talked briefly about that a few weeks ago. I was upset by it, but you're right, Patrick. The window on that sort of closed, not because the topic is over, but because people are kind of, we've shifted to the kind of like, well, let's see what the execution looks like. And for my money at the time, I was like, I just don't trust them to land this. Today is a good example of why I don't trust them to land this. So I saw this through from Twitter user Nibellian, who is
if you do not follow Nibellian on Twitter, you should make that part of your Twitter repertoire. He is very funny and observant, and shares a lot of really good stuff.
Yep. It was a good aggregator of just like information about games on Twitter.
He helps me do my job, and I laugh at the work that he does.
Totally. So shout outs to Nibellian, and who tweeted, "New South Park: The Fractured Butthole trailer parodies footage of the planned Kanye West video game presenting his dead mother as a fish on a unicorn." And I had not seen that trailer at that point. Boy, that just happens, huh? They're just, so for people who don't know, Kanye had debuted at I think the Yeezy Season 3 premiere a year and a half ago or something, maybe a year ago.
When he
ago
did that
now.
Like really absurd like arena.
Yeah, it was at Madison Square Garden. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
He debuted footage from what was supposed to be a mobile game in honor of his mother who passed away a few years ago. It was a very like a very heavy time in his life. I guess more than a few years ago now. I guess we're approaching a decade now. It was like eight years ago or something like that, 6 to 7 years ago. In which a figure, I believe his mother, was on the back of a horse, the back of a Pegasus, going through the skies, like riding across a rainbow into heaven, basically. And, you know, it was one of those things that was just like, it, you know, who knows how that game would have been, but it was like, oh, cool, this is how he wants to honor his mom.
Yeah, who the fuck cares, like, if the game was good or bad? Like, it was of all of Kanye West, like in the arc of his overtures, like the man trying to use his resources to pay tribute to his mom and like bring people into his feelings and that experience. Like
right.
That's an admirable goal regardless of the outcome. And just not something you fucking dunk on. Like that's like his mom died.
Right.
Like,
so the joke here is that it's a fish riding on the back of the unicorn through the sky. And like, it's a bad, it doesn't mean anything, right? Like it's not. And also the coloration on the fish has made some people talk about how it definitely is the same color palette of like shitty blackface. Like it is like,
oh,
big old red lips, huge like cartoonish eyes.
I did not notice that.
Like look at it with that, with those words in your head. And again, don't know what's in people's hearts, but right. This is why I don't like trust that they could hit the landing on the race is difficulty thing. And also it's more complicated than that anyway, but yes, that's the why I'm like not here for it.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Mhm. Hmm. And I think this also goes to another thing, which is like, Patrick, you were just talking about this right before we started with Rob, which was like, South Park as a TV show is often a thing that gets made the week before it airs. And a joke like this slides there because part of the joke is, wow, they referenced that thing that was just in the news. They're so quick. Like, oh, I already had part of my brain devoted to this. This thing happened a year ago. No one cares. And it's already just a bad joke. Like, there's nothing to be gained by making fun of the fact that Kanye wanted to make a game for his dead mom.
Well, like, just things not... have changed. Like, he, like, Kanye as right. a public figure, like, has become reclusive, clearly yep. has a lot of psychological issues that he's working towards. Like, you know, reports are that, like, he was in, like, therapy and, like, recovery. Like, is this... Like, this is the person to go after. Like, right. there are lots of...
And you know, if you're going to go after... Listen, I like Kanye West's music. I've always liked Kanye.
There are things to go...
There are many things to go after with him. Like, especially this year. The year where he, like... I would have voted for Trump.
Yeah.
The year where he, like, stood on top of a rig at one of his shows and shouted at his people, like, anti-immigration shit. Like, there is stuff to go after Kanye for in 2017, but this is like the fucking completely like I want to say flaccid, but I'm trying to avoid penis words. Completely they're certainly facile, empty, hollow sort of humor when you take the decision that the South Park creators have, especially going into this next season where they've specifically said they're not going to make any Trump jokes, where it's just like we're not going to have a position. We'll take down other positions, but we're not going to have one of our own. And that's when you end up grasping for fucking straws and saying, like, okay, who's a public figure we can make fun of because we need to make fun of someone because we need to have jokes in here.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just – it's so completely nerveless. And if you're not going – like, if you can't – the jokes to make about Kanye really increasingly are about the transformation – of his politics,
yep.
right? From maybe sometimes a bluntly and awkwardly expressed awareness of structural racism
mm-hmm.
and, you know, inequities in America to kind of a celebrity trollish nativism.
Right.
Those are the jokes to make there, but those are the kind of jokes that South Park would never actually go after. Because that right. territory, you know, they're kind of, they've always been kind of into that shit. And clearly right. they're sort of backpedaling from any kind of, like, principled critique there. So how do they even present this Kanye figure in this game? Looks to me like they're not even really sending up Kanye, but a stereotype, a very dated stereotype, of a generic black rapper.
Right,
And at
but
that
that's
point,
the thing is, like, he's become the person they wish he had been. In a weird way, right? Like, current Kanye, reclusive, like, his, like you said, kind of nativist politics, very much focused on, like, his own work, less in the public eye, less making claims about, like, politicians on a regular basis, less connected to you know, movements of equality around race.
Same like, sort of, Dave Chappelle has, like, been leveled with a lot of the same.
Totally. Totally. Well, this is... Yeah. Ugh.
No, I was just going to say, like, to me, like, the Kanye of today is, like, the character, like, the things he's running from in the track Gorgeous off Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy
mm-hmm.
have caught up with him.
Oh,
like,
totally.
He did not make it.
Right.
And that's who he's become.
Well, this is the thing is, like, you know who, you know, obviously off of Life of Pablo, there's, like, I miss the old Kanye. And the thing that's amazing is Life of Pablo came out before we needed the old Kanye. We need, like, George Bush era Kanye West so bad right now, and we don't have that. And there's a joke to be made there, right? The joke to be made about Kanye West right now is, like, you used to have your fucking finger on the pulse, man. Like, you knew, again, like Rob said, like, you may not have always been nuanced about your political views, but you spoke truth to power in a way that was impossible to ignore because it came with a degree of style and ferocity that was that like captured everyone's attention. And you can do jokes about that figure falling apart. And it isn't like he wants to make – the one thing he's done that no one can argue with is he wants to pay people to make a game about his mother going to heaven. Chill. Just, like, it's just not funny. It's not, I'm not offended. It's just not funny. It's just like it indicates how off base this like line of humor is because it just doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't – there's nothing except
like,
reference.
What's the – like, I just don't know what
the punchline
is, right? Like,
right.
There's a setup, but – and maybe – you know, it's, again, like, I don't think any of us are willing to grant that South Park has the evidence that there even is a punchline, but like,
right.
I just don't know where the punchline is. Like, it's another shitty Kanye joke, right? Like, it's like, it's something that like maybe made you chuckle if it was written in a tweet 18 months ago, but like the fact that it's, you know, headlined in a video game trailer for a game coming out in a couple of weeks is,
I don't know. And so like that game will be out soon and,
I'm gonna play because I have to know.
Totally.
And I like there are a few cultural artifacts that I look at with the same fascination as South Park, specifically because I was one of those kids that thought South Park was deeply hilarious and funny and spoke truth to power in a way that only like a middle school, high school kid who should not be watching South Park, who doesn't know how the world works. And there are a lot of people that I think that have gone through that the same evolution I have, which is like you have this fondness for Matt and Trey because it was edgy. Like you weren't like it was edgy from the perspective of like a young white kid that wasn't supposed to be watching. Same way that like you weren't supposed to watch The Simpsons. Like when
South
Park to me was what The Simpsons were when I was a much younger kid. Or Beavis and Butthead is actually probably the closer analogy. Beavis and Butthead was actually a much funnier show than South Park ever should get any credit for.
Yep.
But I find it fascinating to play it, if only because the stuff that I find myself chuckling at is often a reason to examine why I'm chuckling at those things. Because I think South Park's specific humor, like sometimes, does still get me and prompts like a decent examination like am I laughing at that because well they clearly are talented and sometimes they do land a joke that is funny, or is that like young Patrick coming out and needs to like recognize like that's not, you know, like that's not where that's you should examine why you're laughing at. Are you laughing at that because it's an ingrained humor that is historically humorous to you that you should know better, or is it, you know, every once in a while they do land a joke and that's interesting. So I ended up playing it. When I played the I sauntered over to the demo at E3 after I played Rabbids. It was the event that you and I went to Austin.
The UB1.
Because no one was playing the kiosk, and I was like, I'm waiting for Austin to finish up with whatever he's doing. So I'll go ahead and play that. And it was just, like, nothing was funny about it. And not in the, like, I'm like, I know better, and like, I'm aware, and like, the transgressions they're enacting, like, you shouldn't laugh at that stuff. Like, it's not that kind of, like, it was, it was nothing about it. Like, even if I was to strip away what I know better, like, about the world and their type of edgelord humor, like, it just wasn't fucking funny. The targets they were picking were not fucking funny. The setups were not fucking funny. Is this game?
This thing with the mom on the unicorn then turns into like a combination of Robot Unicorn Attack and Flappy Bird. Like that's what that's the follow up. If you watch the trailer, so that those images, to be clear, came from a trailer that they dropped today, which is just like because the game went gold. That's why they dropped this. And so it's like it goes from. So in this, we also didn't set this part up, which is that in the South Park universe, Kanye is a fish who is gay, and there's often a punchline, which is he's a little gay fish, and that's a joke in this world, apparently. And so Kanye's fish mother says, "Okay, baby, whatever you say, you little gay fish." Again, that's a punchline at the fact that he's gay, I guess, this character. And then it turns into a Flappy Bird clone. And like,
I swear to God, she calls him a thug in there somewhere, too.
Oh, probably. Probably. I only watched it once. So, but then, like, why are we doing Flappy Bird jokes in 2017? The arc on that. Like, again, there was a time for a Flappy Bird joke. It was, like, that week that everyone was writing stories about Flappy Bird jokes. I bet South Park did a Flappy Bird joke that year, 2 years ago. And it was okay, or 3 years ago now. But, like, it just feels so dated and just, like, here is a reference. Here it is. Please just remember this reference. That is the entirety of the joke. And it just sucks. It's just not a funny thing. And it is frustrating to see so much of the defense come out that's like, South Park's always been offensive. Like, I'm not saying it's offensive even. I'm saying it's not funny. I'm saying it's just, like, empty. And that is, it's a frustrating thing to see that this is where we still are, I guess, to some degree. I'd rather them just get better at this, you know?
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, we're not still here, but South Park is. And that's kind of the issue that's eventually going to catch up with a show like that. It's an artifact of a time when, for the people it was speaking to, you could feel like there were no consequences for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it was in this, cotton-padded world that South Park inhabited, where, you know, everything, you'd always be safe. Like, nothing would fundamentally change. Well,
right.
Things are fucking changing. Mm-hmm. And South Park's humor, by definition, kind of can't evolve with that reality. Because it's fundamentally, like, trying to it was always kind of a guardian of the status quo, even as it pretended to be countercultural.
Yeah, well, and I think that part of the thing here, too, is, like, to the degree that it was ever countercultural, it was because it was pushing against boundaries of decency. And there's a guy who is in the White House now who has, like, who has changed what normal means for decency. In general, we've moved to a place now where, like, fart jokes and dick jokes are not subversive. They are, in fact, like, pretty normative. And to some degree, like you said, they always were in some ways, in terms of who was the butt of those jokes and like, what was the underlying meaning there. But today, especially, there is now a growing different counterculture, right? Like, I look at something like, I haven't seen Neo Yokio yet, the anime starring Jaden Smith and, full disclosure, Viceland's Desus and Mero. But, like, there's a sequence here that I'm looking at in which Jaden Smith's anime character, it's Jaden Smith with pink hair as an anime boy, it's a series of four images, and it's him on a phone being like, I'll bring her a big Toblerone. And then, I brought you a big Toblerone, entering a room with a giant Toblerone and flowers. And then a third one in which he says, you don't deserve this big Toblerone. And then a fourth one, which is just him holding a giant Toblerone in the rain. And it's just like, for whatever, like, Twitter humor at this point is where you end up finding what youth culture and youth humor looks like. And so, like, whatever the South Park model is, still speaks to certain people, and it will always speak to certain people. But there is a new, like, era of what countercultural, subcultural comedy looks like in America.
Well, it increasingly feels like South Park, the people that are, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to necessarily paint with the broadest brush possible, right. But it seems like it increasingly speaks to the kind of gutter humor you find on, like, 4chan and places like
right.
that, like, where whereas it felt counterculture in the 90s and early 2000s for South Park to push boundaries because it got itself attention, now it's just doing that because it pisses liberals off, right?
Right.
Like, that's not necessarily South, like, it's essentially like the whole 4chan Trump supporting part of his base is like, it's not about what they do, it's just about making people angry. It's not about making a point. Like,
right.
in early South Park, I mean, pissing people off was the point, right? Like,
yeah.
But it, like, they were, whatever you felt about the point they were making, they were making in some ways a political point in doing that. But now that rings hollow in a way
right.
that it's just pissing people off to piss libtards off, right? Like, that's the only direction.
The thing is, like, at the time, there was this notion of like, oh, people are apathetic. They're not checked into their politics. Even if we're, like, dunking on both sides, what we're doing is getting people, like, agitated, and agitation means maybe they'll go do something or become more you know, more aware or whatever. Like, people are agitated now, right? People are on every, you know, part of the political spectrum very engaged, way more interested. I think things like the growth of the DSA this year also speak to this, which is, like, people actually want something that is post-irony, right? Which is like, okay, no, shut the fuck up. Let's do something. Like, what are we
picking a side?
What are we doing? Yeah, pick a side. Actually say a thing about a thing. If you don't get fans from that, that's fine. Like, you're not going to be happy. Not everyone is going to be a fan of yours. Instead, like, find a genuine message and then deliver on it. I actually think that you also see that stuff in the growth of shows like BoJack Horseman, which has said things about, like, mental health. Like, those, whatever the people who followed South Park have been inside of the space of kind of animated comedy and kind of countercultural comedy, often have found a way to actually address issues that they give a fuck about outside of putting the issues, you know, like presenting the issues and the people associated as targets for dunking. And just, I don't know, like, I would be, this comes after years of South Park, like, kind of going back and forth on PC culture, and, like, they have just never found in the last few years of anything that I've seen, and especially when I used to watch it seriously, like, even at the time that I was watching it seriously every episode, it was always with this eye of just, like, oh, they're, like, missing the point here. Like you said, Patrick, sometimes they land a joke, but, like, there is no holistic position that, with South Park. And so, now that I think part of the kind of the viewership, the audience, the wider audience is aware about these issues, is tuned in a way that they weren't when they were younger, I think the standard is higher for success. Like, not for just, again, it's not just about, like, oh, we've offended you. It's just like, this isn't a thing. You didn't land a punchline here. Like, you can't just say a setup and expect that to be the joke. You can't just say, what if Kanye West was a gay fish and his mom, he wanted to put his mom in heaven. That's a thing in the world. That's not a joke. So I don't know. We'll see how, when that game comes out, Patrick. I'm glad you're going to play it because I'm curious.
Yeah, and again, as I think there are probably a lot of folks like myself that recognize the talent that those mm-hmm. two dudes have, like their comedic timing, their ability to capitalize on like current moments. Like some of the stuff I've watched in the past, like of like Basketball, was like that's a right. funny fucking movie. Probably lots about shit about that movie that doesn't hold up that I have a problem with. But it was a funny goddamn movie. And I think what's what a lot of sort of fans that look back on that stuff or you just look at two folks that clearly are very smart and adept and have a comedic timing that should be targeted at things. They should be punching up instead of down, and they don't yep. even punch down. They just yep. punch everywhere.
Yep.
And it's just like the punches aren't landing in a way that is, it's wasted talent. It's like these totally. Two dudes could be doing so much more with their platform and their talent, and instead they just seem to be flailing wildly in a way that just take yourself out of the conversation, because it's like it's 2017. If you don't have something to say, like, it's just like, get the fuck out.
Totally. So the other thing today, speaking of copyright things, right? Like they have this clone of Flappy Bird. That's a very funny joke. I mean, you know, maybe there is a tiny bit of relevance, which is, Bluehole, the developer of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, has they in a press release today, they kind of went at Epic over the newish Fortnite Battle Royale mode. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Patrick? Like you just wrote a story about it.
Yeah. So the setup is a couple of weeks back, Epic wrote a post on the PlayStation blog in which the creative director of Epic Games, Donald Mustard, who was the lead designer on, oh, what was that Metroidvania they made?
Shadow Complex. There it is. Yeah. Speaking of games, now, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Who is now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's not go down that road. Google it. or Scott Card. So they put out a blog that was like, hey, we're adding this new game type to Fortnite. It's called Battle Royale mode. And they specifically cited PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds as being like a pretty much direct inspiration, in which they took their like crafting survival cooperative game that has essentially like a lot of the base elements are contradictory to sort of the base elements of Battlegrounds, but took this idea and made a PvP mode because Fortnite is largely a PvE game, and put in a blue wall and straight up called it Battle Royale. And if you know the history of or don't know the history of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, that was previously a straight-up called Battle Royale mod for Arma 2 and 3 that PlayerUnknown worked on.
And then he went to Sony or Daybreak Studios. Is that what it was?
Daybreak, that was part of Sony Online Entertainment, and then split off from Sony and became Daybreak a number of years ago, that worked on the game H1Z1, which then had a spinoff, several spinoffs, but one was called King of the Kill, right? Which is what Brendan Green, PlayerUnknown, worked on. And then I'm pretty sure, Austin, you had read an interview where it sounded like Brendan had worked with Daybreak and actually like licensed the idea behind Battlegrounds to them.
That's the thing that's weird, is because my understanding, I'm not currently an IP professional. I was one once briefly in my life. But the thing that surprised me was to read that from an interview over at Rock Paper Shotgun, that Sony Online or Daybreak licensed I'm just going to read this quote because it's weird. RPS asks, "So, what was the ongoing nature of the relationship with Sony Online? Did they hire you? Were you a consultant?" And Brendan Green says, "I was a consultant. They licensed my game mode. They licensed my idea for inclusion, which was last man standing deathmatch with an ever-decreasing play zone with a random loot system. That's what my idea would be, really. They changed some stuff. They simplified the loot. Their bombing zones aren't the same as what I had them in Arma 3 and now in Battlegrounds, but I helped them get it into the game by just consulting with them for a few months, and then I really let them do their own thing. I went back to Arma 3 and then focused on getting the leaderboards online and doing all that stuff and letting them do their own thing. What they've done has been great. They've got huge numbers of players in their world, or in the world. And that's interesting because that is not, as far as I know, the sort of thing that you're required to do with game mechanics. Per previous research I've done, game mechanics cannot be copyrighted in America. You can copyright code, you can copyright art, you can copyright other sorts of assets, right? You can copyright writing. If there's a huge story mode and another company did that, took it word for word, you'd have a problem. But things like chess can't be given copyright protection. They can't even be given something like trademark protection, right? Which is about what you go to the market as a trademark, which is, things like Coca-Cola, but also the red color on Coca-Cola. The Post-it notes have yellow. That Post-it note yellow is trademarked by 3M. And so you could theoretically,
It's not called a Battlegrounds mode. It's called a Battle Royale.
Right, it's called a Battle Royale mode, right, because Battlegrounds is trademarked or is registered as a trademark and has protection from that. But you, as far as I know, you cannot get any sort of IP protection, any sort of copyright protection for something like a blue wall closing in, unless your blue wall is literally the same asset taken over. Which, funny story, Bluehole as a company spun off of another Korean company. Was it NCSoft, Patrick? Yeah. Do you remember that? Yeah, okay. And then, Rob, did you read that the post about this? And there was like a GameIndustry.biz story from a while ago, which was like...
Yeah, just their origin story is sort of like, as they leave NCSoft, they take the, what was it, Lineage MMO code and assets out the door with them and use that as sort of the foundation for Terra, mm-hmm. I think it was.
Yeah.
And you might remember Terra as being the creepily childlike anime-type characters mm-hmm. that were also weirdly sexualized in an MMO setting. Really anticipating the rise of Gamergate, I think, which was a forward-looking move on their part. They've always been ahead of the game. And then they also kind of made a Diablo clone. But there is kind of a richness coming from Bluehole kind of doing the Captain Louie, shocked that someone would be taking inspiration from popular games.
Well, and this is the thing that I think ends up being interesting here is, like, one is the legal precedent thing, especially because it sounds like Bluehole is issuing legal threat, or at least gesturing towards, like, you'll hear from our lawyers type vibes from them. I don't know what a lawyer would do in this scenario, but maybe they have what they think is a game plan, or maybe this is someone who his head is filled with money and is taking it a step too far. PlayerUnknown, Brendan Green didn't come out and say this you know, the Blue Hole's like communications person did via a press release. But it's weird. It also reminds me a lot of, this is a weird deep cut maybe, of Nas getting mad at Jay-Z for sampling Dead Presidents, in which, do you know this? Do you know why Nas and Jay-Z had beef back in the day? They had beef for a lot of reasons. The reason they ended up, the kind of heart of that beef was that there's a really, really great Nas line on a track that is, I got dead presidents to represent me.
Yeah.
Right. And famously, Jay-Z then just turned that into a song. Later, he, of course, would say, you made it a hot line, I made it a hot song. And the kind of the core of that beef was like, Jay-Z never talked to Nas about it. He never went to him and said, hey, heads up, I'm going to make a dope track sampling your thing. I went through the record company, I'm paying the license fee. Like, we're good. The core of it was just like, you didn't ask. And in this scenario, it is Blue Hole, who is in a relationship with Epic already. They are, you know, Battlegrounds is on UE4. That's right, right? It's not on. Okay. And so they have this middleware relationship with Epic already. It's on, they're using their engine. And so to have them be the ones to go do it, to, they claim at least, not give them a heads up about it, and to beat them to market on console with the mode, feels like the heart of this thing, right?
Yeah, which is, that's the feeling I get from this. Is this has less to do, because in the release, they pointed towards a Reddit AMA that Brendan Green did, in which he said, I expect that people are going to take influence from this game. I just hope they bring their own kind of spin to it and do something new, because, like, I have heard from AAA game developers, everyone is prototyping variants of Battlegrounds in their games, because of course you would do that. Like, it makes all the sense in the world. Video games, part of the beauty of video games not being able to lock down game design ideas is that they're able to build on each other in ways that just, like, had benefited the medium immensely, that would not have been possible without that, and made it a much messier medium as a result. This feels very specific to them calling out Battlegrounds, them calling it Battle Royale, them beating them to console, them being free to play on console. Like, there are a specific business reason, that the fact that their middleware provider is the one doing it.
They're paying this company money to use their, or they paid or are paying money to Epic to use that engine. And so I could see why it would rankle your feeling. I could see why you'd be like, man, fuck off. Like, let us live. We're trying to do stuff with your engine. Like, I get it 100%.
But at the same time, it's not a great look, right? Because, like, you made it. Like, you know, it's all in the game. And all Epic is doing is capitalizing the same way everyone else is. But, like, you didn't have dibs on a console release.
No, totally.
You've already made your fortune.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I do wonder if there is the added layer here, which is, like, we already talked about what Brendan Green's, like, arc has been. He's been at a lot of the other ones, not all of them. Like, he didn't work on The Culling, right? There are other Battle Royale games already out there. But I wonder if that history of having, you know, as he says, like, licensed it to Sony before, sets up this precedent in his mind, which is like, oh no, you get to fucking license it. Like, or maybe not even his mind, but in Blue Hole's mind, like, there is precedent here of other companies licensing this mode from this person who's here. I wonder if they're going to point to that in any way. Like, I don't think that's legal precedent in any way. Like, just because you bought the Brooklyn Bridge doesn't, from some scammer, doesn't mean that everyone else needs to too.
If it is, like, Riot and Valve probably owe some Warcraft 3 and Starcraft modders a shit ton of cash.
Totally. I mean, listen, the Dota League stuff, the Dota Heroes of the Storm stuff, like, there's a lot happening in a lot of ways about this stuff. DJ Wheat, a Twitch.tv streamer, like actually at Twitch.tv, not just someone who streams on Twitch, brought up mobile game clones and how prevalent those are and then how those can be incredibly successful too. I don't think this is a limited case or anything like that, but I think it's a big deal given the incredible success of Battlegrounds this year.
Do you think part of it is that, like, Green, until fairly recently, was kind of the scrappy upstart, sort of, like, pushing his dream vision of the game he's always wanted to play? This is his baby. You know, it's easy to forget that Battlegrounds has basically blown up in a span of 6 months. Like, yep. I mean, his daily experiences, his life, his profile have changed quite a bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, I can easily imagine you feel like, man, all this labor I put into this, all this, like, refining this idea and busting my ass to, like, bring it to fruition, that wasn't a long time ago and I made my fortune. Like,
right.
That was a few months ago. Like, I was hustling to make this happen.
We
and
were
now,
talking
now you're
yesterday.
Taking it.
We were talking yesterday about this because one of our biggest stories of the year in terms of traffic was the first time that we wrote about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which was a Cameron Kunzelman article in which the head was a game where your only friends are patience, silence, and murder. Like, the word Battlegrounds is nowhere in that headline, and that was not a mistake. That was a choice we made at the time, because we were like, no one knows what this game is. Like, a couple, you know, it's blown up a little bit, but, like, no one knows what a game called Player, what a bad name, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Brr.
Yeah, like, so, like, to put, like, the curtain on, like headline writing is that sometimes it feels, like, part of the goal of getting a headline right is both doing service to, like, especially if it's a game that you're you enjoy and you want people to read about it, you both want, you know, traffic to your website, because that's, like, the foundation of a business is that, for better or worse, but also it's like, I want people to check this cool thing out. And by your very nature, given the way we are swamped with information, if you see a headline for something and you don't know what that thing is, your frame of reference may be, understandably so, I don't have time for this. I'm not going to click on it. So if you were to write PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which early in 2017, understandably, you would just move past that because that's a bad name for a video game.
Right.
We, like, spent a lot of time, like, how do we describe the nature of Battlegrounds in a way that might connect to people so that they'd be interested in clicking on a game that they have no frame of reference for.
Totally. Well, another one of these is, like, we did a story, not to keep going down this route, but I think it's interesting. We did another story of a sort that we do a couple of these where it's just like, oh, hey, here's a trailer for a game, like, that we think looks interesting. A game called Thousand Threads, tiny independent game. Jack DeKeet, who did that Heat Signature stream with me, actually wrote this. And it's 3 violent minutes with a game that remembers why it hates you. Great headline, because if we had put, like...
Wait, these are both my heads.
You did it, buddy.
I'm the
good
headline
ones.
Writing. All right.
Finally.
If I wrote something, it fucking sucks. But
well, that's
hey,
that's just
Cameron,
headline writing.
Jack, I got you.
They're both good headlines, and it's like, boom. Okay, I'm going to pay attention to this thing now, because that's a great, like, oh, yeah, I want to know what that game is. But if we had said, like, there's an indie game called Thousand Threads, and, it, like, the deck of it, Thousand Threads gives its NPCs just enough memory and motivation to create a Hobbesian hellscape, you definitely wrote that one also, Rob. it's tough. Headline writing is wild. Anyway, my point is, going back to Battlegrounds, like, 6 months ago, we knew it was good, but we didn't know that it would blow up this way. No one did. So, yeah, Rob, like, your point about Brendan Green being kind of, like, going from scrappy upstart to Kanye West in a single year is... he'll be in a South Park game before we know it.
Jesus.
I'm exhausted already. But also, if he's not in that South Park game, that South Park game fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, if there's not a PlayerUnknown's joke in that game, that game missed the boat. Like, that's not a saying, is it? Missed the boat a saying?
It is now.
Okay. Good. My mom missed a boat once, and as a kid, I made fun of her for it because I was cruel. And I just always talked about missing the boat. But no, that's a saying. That's a real saying. She literally missed
I feel like
missed
I'm
one.
In a Louis C.K. bit at this
she
point.
She literally like... missed the boat, though. She, like, went to go to a boat. I love my mother. She had to go to a poetry reading thing on a boat, which is, like, that's cool. But she missed it by, like, 10 minutes. And it's like she could see it, like, taking it, like, leaving the pier. And my mom came home, and my stepdad was like, oh, we missed the boat. And I was like, my mom missed the boat. And I'm like 13 and just a miserable human. Anyway, I really like saying missed the boat for all of my teenage years because children are terrible. No wonder I like South Park.
Young Austin Veer, like, hanging with his mom. You missed the boat, mom. Hanging with dad. Read more.
Yeah, exactly. I was terrible for a long home, time.
I'm going to drop some truth on this brainy sphere. Not brainy enough for me.
I was, the missed the boat thing was very young. The missed the boat thing was like 90s. Read more was way too, was like mid-2000s and was also terrible. All right, I think we might be done. I feel the energy leaving the room as we try to wrap our heads around these things. Any like closing thoughts on the Brendan Green, the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Fortnite thing is like, also that mode seems bad. The Fortnite like mode just doesn't seem like it gives me anything like what I would want from the Battlegrounds mode. Or from Fortnite, which is like the thing I like about Fortnite for the you know, I put 20 hours into it or something, is like calmly building with friends and like setting up bases and kind of just like exploring these big maps without much tension. And the thing I like from Battlegrounds is like not only is the mode idea good, but the action is quick and responsive. The guns feel good to fire. Things aren't squishy. Everything is just kind of, like, snappy. And Fortnite is so, like, it's like a marshmallow game. It's good, but it's, like, you can squeeze it a little bit. It has a lot of give. It's fluffy. Like, that's how that game feels to me. We ran a piece this week from Janine Hawkins on the site, waypoint.vice.com, on that mode just, like, not solving any of the problems that Fortnite does have. And she was writing that as a huge fan of Fortnite. She's put like 60 hours into that game and has written about like why that mode doesn't work with that game well, and more importantly why like there are other things that game needs, which reframes this as being like Fortnite's UI is a fucking disaster right now. Like Fortnite's overall meta structure is so impenetrable. But what they've done is made a free-to-play Battlegrounds mode that is going to console quickly. And that is like, it is so hard not to see that very cynically.
Here's what makes me laugh. So this morning, this press release comes out from Bluehole. And then just before recording, Epic Games told me they were not going to comment. And then I just see this new thread on NeoGAF that points to Epic this morning releasing a new update to their Battle Royale mode, and with all the changes that are coming, including squads. So that may be actually Epic's response to this is...
still fucked. Doing it. Yeah, come get it. Like, let's go. We got Warriors too.
I don't think they'll... I think Bluehole drops it. I think they... I don't think this goes any further than
there's a nowhere
bunch
to
of
go.
sniping statements right. through PR people.
I think my like closing thought on it is, you know, some very good advice from a... look, I'm a white cis bro, so I return to Tarantino a lot. But I do think From Dusk Till Dawn has some very good advice, and one of the great lines in that is Harvey Keitel asking, "Are you so much of a fucking dumbass that you do not recognize when you've won?" And there's a lot of times when you're going to want to take umbrage at something and like step up over something, but really, is it worth it? Haven't you already won? Think about it.
I don't know, like, maybe this gestures towards what their larger intentions and aspirations are, right? Like, I think the console market is a meaningful thing. I think Fortnite having not flopped by any means, but, like, not having been made a huge splash, and now having this free-to-play mode as, like, an entry, like, a gateway drug to it, a kind of an entryway to it, is definitely something that... I can imagine as being peeved off, but yeah, I don't think I send the public like this is why you get a private Twitter. This is why.
I think sick of these fake people letting me license their engine and then stealing my ideas.
Changhan Kim, you should have gotten on your private Twitter. Got on your alt account.
Epic has said that Fortnite will by the end of the year have made more money for them than any other game they've worked on, though.
Wow, really? That's pretty good. That's the thing is like I've played a lot of Fortnite. There is also a lot of free to play style stuff in Fortnite. To be clear,
the only reason you're paying for it right now is to get early access. That game will go free to play when it hits 1.0. So that's why that shit is there. Is because that's how they'll make money on it later.
Right. All right, I think that's going to do it for us. I think like, the thing is, like, I actually still want to talk about this more because I think it's interesting. I think there's all of these different angles. I just read just a second that apparently Epic and Bluehole worked together to modify the Unreal Engine for games like Battle Royale or for games like Battlegrounds, which is like, ooh, does that add an interesting angle? Like, they work together to modify the base engine so that then that does that like filter back into Fortnite in a way? Like, I don't know. It's super interesting, and I think right now I'm definitely taking a wait and see approach in the broader picture for the reason that Rob just said, which is like, Battlegrounds had a good ass year. Like, I don't think it's going anywhere. But I also understand being pissed off. Not lawyer pissed off though. That's going to do it for us today. I'm Austin Walker. You can follow me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Rob?
Wherever they sell more of the four packs of this Founders Imperial Malt Liquor. I need to get on that because this is my new best friend.
We should have done like this podcast in two parts.
Yeah.
One now, and then checked in with Rob when he had
finished buddy. The drink. I think people listening will be able to tell how full that glass is based on how I sound during this podcast.
Perfect. You follow Rob at Rob Zachney on Twitter. Patrick, what about you?
Find me at Patrick Clubley. I got to get me some of this malt liquor. Rob.
Where is it?
Point me the way.
Come on in. Let's do it. You follow everything Waypoint does at twitter.com/waypoint, facebook.com/waypointvice, over on Twitch at twitch.tv/waypoint. You can follow everything we do on the website at waypoint.vice.com. Talk to us over on the forums at forums.waypoint.vice.com or at discourse.zone. That one's easier. You can also go check out Bowen. Shout out to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. Saying that out loud reminded me I have to go over to hover.com and renew waypoint.zone, which is the only waypoint alias that I've actually handled myself instead of it being a gift from a fan. So I should go to hover.com and do that. We're not being paid by that website.
Is there a code that anyone should
use? Go to hover.com, use code. That's not how we do. We have other ads running now. Shout outs to Acast, who just drops in ads. There probably was just one a second ago. I don't know. I can't hear it. I don't hear it while we're recording. They don't have that technology yet. Shout-outs also to Sophie, who is producing this. I don't know if Sophie's on Twitter, and we are not in a studio with Sophie at this moment. We're all recording from home, so shout-outs to Sophie. That's going to do it for us. Danielle, I hope you're having a good vacation still. Danica, I hope you... do you have any hopes for Danica? What are my Danica hopes, Patrick? She shot a guy today. That was cool in Battlegrounds. Good no, kill.
She just... I hope she gets in that van and gets what she needs.
Okay. That's... Okay. She is
Godspeed,
the fan of...
darling Danica. Godspeed.
All right. That's going to do it for us. As Danielle always says, be good and be good at it.
Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.